Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. I am Kojo Benson-Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In today's episode, Morocco's celebrity chef, Chef El Hadi, who has enormous experience in cooking English, French, Italian, Spanish, Asian, and Moroccan food, believes the continent of Africa needs to use diplomacy and marketing, as well as media, to promote the region's diverse culinary experiences to the world. Good morning and welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. And my guest today is Chef El Hadi. Maybe I leave the introduction, you know, for him to take us through. Chef, good morning. Bonjour. That's my only French.
Bonjour. Good morning. On va parler français et en anglais en même temps. We can speak English and French same time.
Yeah. Exactly.
My name is Chef El Hadi. I'm Moroccan, originated in Morocco, in North Morocco. I've been doing this kind of cuisine. I've been working in gastronomy over 30 years, more than 30 years. I've been traveling all around the world to get more experience. And as I like discovery, I like to write about the food, to know about the food. So I've been traveling all around the world. It's over 65 countries. Wow. I've done many seminars. J'ai travaillé dans beaucoup de restaurants dans tout le monde, surtout dans l'Angleterre, la Malaisie, les pays arabes, en Espagne. I done many cooking shows all around the world in North America, in Europe, in Asia, in Morocco. So all around, I've been knowing about Moroccan food and. I do as well combination between Moroccan food and the world food cuisine. I mean, cuisine Moroccan and world cuisine. So always I do that twisted.
Okay. I mean, you are the perfect person to tell us about how gastronomy and the influences of gastronomy on tourism and people. What I read briefly about you working from the helping your mom in the kitchen and all of that, you know. Tell us how you got inspired to be a chef, how you really said, I'm going to be a chef now.
Yeah, actually, when I was 8 years old, I've been seeing my mom working and my sisters, because they are really good at cooking, so they know how to cook very, very good. So I took that knowledge from them, actually. So I was cooking and hiding from them. I don't want, because men in our culture, men to work in kitchen is quite a little bit embarrassing for us. So they want me to study, they want me to come something else. But my blood, and it was always bringing me to the kitchen, and I was cooking and hiding things with my little sister. So from there, I couldn't leave the kitchen. So when I reached 10 years old, I went to one city called Oujda. It's in the west of Morocco, it's the northwest in Morocco, East Morocco. So I tried to learn there with the oldest generation. They used to use in Ramadan, because when we go to fast, they do in Morocco, they do special stuff in Ramadan, like a girewesh, like brewat, like seka, like something sweet that we serve with harira, they we serve with nice food. As Moroccan, in Ramadan in Morocco is mixed of culture in your table. When you go to the table, you see different kind of the food, like between 10 to 20 kind of the food, different food, and with family. So I went to that city to learn more things. At 10 years old, I was studying and going there each year, and especially in August. And August in that time was like 38, 40 degrees, age of 10, learning that things in hot atmosphere. It was really, really good, actually. So from there, I went to study. So I was traveling around with my parents. So when I went to England, actually, I went to England to study, I found myself in the kitchen. I said, wow. Maybe this is my destiny, so I have to stay working in kitchen. I left everything. So I start to do school, English school, I start to do cooking school, I start to do universities, I start to travel, I start to read the books, I start to do my research, and I've been looking for the best chef to work with them, to get the knowledge from them, to get what's in the cuisine, what is the gastronomy, what's the art culinaire, so stuff like this. So from there, I start to work very hard until I get married. My wife, she said to me, look, you got two things. Now you are in this domain. There is not going back. You have to go forward. You have to travel. You have to get more knowledge. You have to study more and more. So this is what I done. And after that, I start to read and write in my own books. Oh. I start to do my own ingredient because I'm creative chef. Sometimes I do my ingredient. I know how to manage to do the produce and the spices, how to mix them, because like you do in equation, mathematical equation, and you have to have the relation. That's what I was doing. I used to have laboratory in my house. So till I find myself in television, doing programming television. So the media talking about me all around the world in six languages. In Bahasa, in Chinese, in Japanese, in Moroccans, and English, French. So and, I said, well, this is...
If I may just come in, what did your parents say when they saw the end product, if I may use the word?
In the first time, they couldn't believe it that I'm chef. They couldn't believe it because till my parents come to me one day and they saw me cooking for them, they were shocked. They said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm cooking for you. So to believe that El Hadi is chef, till they saw me in television. I was in one program in they call it Islam Channel in UK. So from there they said, oh, this guy took it seriously. Actually, we didn't thought that he's going to work in kitchen. We're thinking he's going to go to study. This is the story. This is presque comment c'est ça l'histoire que j'ai dans ma vie. So my parents, they accepted this, and all the families and my friend as well. And but that things make me really happy. I feel always happy when I go to kitchen, when I cook for someone. Even sometimes I can cook for 72 hours not stop. Sometimes like recently, like in 10 years ago, I did work 7 months not stop, going in dark time, coming out in dark time. So I cannot see the sun at all for over 7 months, working from 7 o'clock till midnight, just to learn. This is my passion.
Passion. That's a strong passion.
Yeah.
That is a passion.
Yeah,
for that.
Yeah.
Now, finish your statement.
Say that again. I can't hear you.
No, I'm saying if you can finish your statement. You were about to say something on a hobby. So if you can.
Finish. Yeah. So yeah, yeah. Me when. When I feel upset or when I feel like I'm quite stressed or something, I have to go to the kitchen. Wow. And sometimes I wake up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, just reading some book, or sometimes just when I go to bed at 11 or midnight. I never slept before midnight anyway. So when I go to midnight to 1 o'clock in the a.m. in the morning, just thinking about some ingredient, so I cannot sleep. I have to go out to my sitting room and I have to take the book or the net and I have to do some research. So this is me. This is Chef El Hadi. This is my passion and my love is the cuisine. And especially when I cook for someone and I see in his eye happiness and he's really happy. This is the most things make me happy in my... Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is...
No, thank you so much for that, thorough journey about about your lifestyle and your journey in the culinary. Now, as somebody that who had this, inspiration right from age of 8 and, went to the kitchen and all of that, what's your take on using gastronomy to promote our culture? And I believe you are aware that recently the UNWTO just launched, the African gastronomy book. What would you say is a key ingredient in promoting our culture?
Okay, just to let you know, the like Moroccan, for example, or the all around the world for century, the food has been an international knowing about to each other, yeah. And the main influence and the development and shaping of the cuisine, our cuisine, yeah,
yes,
is to move from out one place to another place. Like we are diplomatic, it's like in diplomacy that we bring from one side to our side. Yeah.
Yes.
And all our dishes, yeah, are really important. Why? Because they are linked with the past, yeah, and the present. Concern yeah. celebration of the road, symbol of hospitality, friendly, and heritage, and everything. And this is like I said, it's been from years and years. Okay. Yeah. And the main things to make this this cuisine like it's like exchange with other culture, yeah, and yeah. nation. And this is it's been from century. And this is mixed from different, for example, in Morocco, for example, we said it's been mixed with Amazigh and Arabs and the Mediterranean and Andalus and this, yeah. And especially with the slight of European, a little bit Spanish and French and the Sub-Saharan, all this influence, what bring us and what we need to know that the combination of the spices that we use, for example, in Morocco, we got south, west, east and north. And each side of us, they make different kind of cooking, different kind of spices. So wherever you go in Africa, for example, if you go to Sub-Saharan, or if you go to Middle Sahara, or whatever in Africa, for example, you can find, for example, in Ghana, they do different spices, in Senegal, different spices, in Ethiopia, different spices. But end of the day, when they put that plate to you, you find that combination, this little bit of each side. This is the cuisine of the gastronomy in the world, all the world. This is the mix of spices, how to use them, how to do the combination of between them. This is how we work in our plate.
Okay, no, that's great to hear. But with your travels to these 65 countries, how, you know, you usually don't see African cuisine out there. What do you think that we can do to continue promoting African cuisines to the world?
Yeah, this is the question I was looking, and this is my target now. Because me, yeah, because I didn't have good knowledge about African cuisine, but I've been studying for a couple of months now, and to bring our cuisine, African cuisine, to the world is easy. Like I said before, this is diplomacy. We have to do a lot of cooking show. We have to write about our food in Africa. We have to influence our cooking. We have to say what is African cuisine. We have to bring African cuisine to the world. For example, we cannot keep it just between us. We have to develop it. Yeah, we have to develop that. We have to produce that large range of the, for example, the fruit you got there, the vegetables you got, like some tropicals, for example, like the meat you got there, for example, and we have to talk about the base of your cuisine, the color, the characteristic, the flavoring, for example, that you include in your plate, for example. We have to bring that to the broad, to the outside of the continent. We don't have to keep them just there. For example, if you take, for example, the labor, they go into Europe or to the America or to the Australia or to the Asia to work from Africa, what they do? They cook in the own dishes there. But the problem, we just cook those dishes. We have to talk about those dishes. What does that mean, those dishes? What is asked for the dishes? What they talk about? If there is any culture, if there is any story, this is how we can bring our culture outside. And we have to do a lot of event. We have to do a lot of event. And we have to try this event to bring the people they don't know about our food, to teach them what is Mindo food, African food. This is how I see in future how we can spread our food all around the world.
Okay. Now, again, going back to your experience and how you started, do you think that young people now or the upcoming generation is not motivated to you know, if you say you are a chef, even now, your parents sometimes yeah. expect you to go and study engineering or something like that. What do you think we can do that to shape the mindset of gastronomy as a profession?
No, I'll tell you something now that is really interesting. You know, before we used to feel shame to work in kitchen, but now it's becoming it's fashion.
Yeah,
it's fashion now. Everywhere you go now, you find a lot of schools about gastronomy. You find even in university now, of my experience, I get many invitation from the universities, from the schools, from the
media, young people, yes.
media to to talk to them about the food. Now it's becoming fashion now. Everybody asking how I want to become chef. Why we want to ask a lot of people? Because, you know, to be chef or to talk about the cuisine in the world is something really, really interesting. There is two things doesn't die. One of them is cuisine, because even you bring the robot, you bring everything to cook for you to do, but you still you have to have your hand on to cook for to cook. Yeah. So now everybody say, I'm going to become chef. I want to become chef. Why? Because chef can introduce you to different people that you never saw in your life. For example, it can take you to television. It can make you famous. It can take you to Hollywood to cook for VIP people. It can make you, you know, to make you high in profile. That's why people now, that our generation, young generation, they like to become chef. A lot, I know a lot of people now, they're coming to me, people, oh, chef, we want to go to that school to learn gastronomy. Oh, chef, we want to go. They know even about the cooking, and they know even about the school, and they start to understand what is Moroccan food, what is French food, what's Italian food, what is African food, all that things. So I don't think there is problem. Like before, for example, in our generation, the mistake that we done, in our generation, the mistake, we didn't take this influence, we didn't take this ingredient from our moms and from our grandmom, for example, the old dishes. This is a mistake we done. We didn't took those dishes to make them like now, like a treasury now. We can find, for example, you know, if you, your grandma, for example, if she cook for you one dish, you cannot find that dish now, because that's it. We don't know what she put in those dishes, you know. But our generation now, they come to these things. But the problem, they don't know what is our dishes in the past. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I understand what you mean.
This is the problem. But everywhere you go now, the gastronomy, the schools, everywhere you go now, even you find one woman, she know how to cook a little bit, she can invite 10, 20 women to teach them what she learned, you know. People now, they pay in money to learn to learn kitchen, like football now. Before, people, they said, if you go to play football, for example, your parents, they said, oh, you're gonna destroy your clothes, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do that. But now they pay money to go to learn. Same for cuisine now. People, they pay money to go to learn. So this is what I'm happy about it, because we're never gonna destroy these things, because people now, they start to learn and research and discover and traveling to know about the food. And even when we go to you watch just one program on television, and you saw one chef is cooking some dish, and he show you the cities and stuff like, oh wait, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. So people, this make them more attractive. Make them, give them a relation between kitchen and the life. That's why I think about it. But okay, this is my opinion.
No. That's excellent. Now, you know that obviously in the last 1 year, we've had to deal with COVID. No, so yeah. How has it affected your profession? I mean, people, yourself, and your, you know, your colleague chefs and the gastronomy people, and what do you think can be done, you know, to improve the situation, in your opinion?
Actually, the COVID is affected everybody, and in our side is affected us a lot, but it affected us in one side, but another side, we never been stopped, because we've been working from home. We've been working to do takeaway for charity. We've been working to do the food for many things, you know. So we should have like our domain. We have to be like registered with government, and the government wants something happen like this. You have to be paid for your time off, because you cannot stay without working for, and the restaurants and coffees, and this has been closed, and people, they don't have, because they work day to day, they don't have that money, for example, like the 5-star Michelin star, or 3-Michelin star, or 2-Michelin star, or 5 Rosette, for example. You got always the money in your pocket, and you got sponsoring to sponsor you all time. But there is majority of 75% to 85% of the chefs, for example, they have no income in this situation. I wish like each country, for example, to register how many chefs they got, and they can help them, for example, to give them some how to survive, not just leave them just like this. This is what I was thinking. But to like as We are chef. We've been working every day, daily. If we don't work in our restaurant, we work from home, you know. And if we don't work from home, we go to charity work there. So we are always busy. But the income, there is no income. So I think maybe we should be having like association. There is many association of the chefs, but they don't do the proper job. There is not proper job. Even we got a lot of association all around the world, but there is not something that we can think about that this problem or there is COVID. We have to do strategy for don't letting the chefs down. So
no, that's fine. Now, as we wind up our conversation, what do you make of the tour of the African gastronomy book? I believe you have a copy in Madrid. What do you make
of that? I didn't receive yet the copy to read it actually.
Okay, now I'll send you a copy after this conversation. I'm going to send you a copy, the digital copy. But essentially is a journal or a book that talks about African food and African gastronomy. I mean the ingredients, the spices, on how to make it, from where, and all of that. That's a book that the UNWTO put together, and you had the privilege of being in Madrid as well, you know. And
so I think the variation of the cuisine of Africa is, I think, is in combination between local viable, I think, fruit and the grain, for example, and vegetable, and for example, all the product you got there, like milk, like meat, and
I'll send it to you after this conversation. Yeah. But if you're not cooking, your final words, if you're not cooking, what are you doing at Hadi?
When I'm not cooking, I'm quite busy time. I got busy time because I'm master in Taekwondo, WTF.
Okay.
I got six dan actually. I've been practicing this this martial art for years and years. And I do a lot of golf as well. Okay. I play golf a lot. And sometimes when I have nothing to do, I teach gastronomy, I teach cuisine to a lot of people for charity. And I do a lot of seminar all around Morocco and Europe, for example. And sometimes I go to America to do turn to because like I said before, we are the ambassador of the food. So we have to travel to show them what is mean food, what is this. Like, for example, for me, I like to travel to show them what is Moroccan food. You know,
okay.
To show them the important dishes.
I know that you have many influences of Southeast Asia, Africa, Europe, Morocco, and all of that. I know it's difficult to always make a judgment on, but what would you say is your favorite? I don't know if there's a favorite food or cuisines or something.
The favorite cuisine I love to cook a lot is fish, actually.
Okay.
I like to
couscous, because we all love couscous.
Yeah, because in from century to century, there is in our side of country, there is people they used to make fish with couscous, and there is different because fish is hard to cook. Actually, it's really hard. And in Morocco, we got Mediterranean and Atlantic. It's a lot of fish, so always I like to create different dishes, which a lot of people they love, and I'd like to inspire the different kind of produce and the ingredient to make that dish come in famous, because we cannot live just what we got before. We have to create something new to live for generation and generation, because our dishes talk about our story, and each dish got identity. We cannot just do these things like this. So I like to bring new dishes for future. That's why I'm...
No, that's good. But finally, I know that we said finally, my last take or my last question to you is that, what do you make of UNESCO gazetting couscous as intangible world asset?
You mean couscous?
Couscous, recently, UNESCO...
UNESCO,
gazetted it as a world, intangible, what's the name? Product. It was classified as one of those very important food, or if you like, an intangible asset within the cultural setting.
Yeah. You know, look, the couscous is like it's called like tagine, for example. Yeah, is traditional dish. So now that is Maghreb Arab, they said like Tunisia, Morocco, Algeria, and sometimes they said Libya, Mauritania, and Sahara Occidental. So it's good for us, like in couscous. I think if you come the real couscous, actually, you can find the real couscous. Each side, they go different side. For example, if you go to just in Morocco, for example, if you eat couscous in different side of Morocco, you find it different. If you go, for example, I'll tell you one story. If you can go to Brazil, you find people eating couscous in the morning.
Wow.
So, yeah, in the morning, if you go, for example, there is kind of, if you go to Saudi Arabia in one side, I saw recently last year, 2 years ago, people eating couscous. So I think couscous mainly might be traveled from Morocco. I don't know, I cannot tell you about this story because now UNESCO, they said, is Tunisia and Morocco and Algeria. So I think it's good things to be in UNESCO, and it's good to you know, it's good for all of us that we got
one cultural heritage, just to protect the, you know, our food and you know, our culture. Chef El Hadi, thank you so much for your time to, you know, speak to
you're
us.
You're welcome, sir.
On the VA Tourism podcast, and then we will call on you to share with us all your experience when the time comes.
Thank you very much. And I got one message. I love that we have to change culture between the chefs all around Africa.
Okay.
I love, this is my dream, you know, to invite, I can invite chefs to come to Morocco.
Exchange,
they can invite me, come in there.
Experience. Yeah,
this is really good things. We have to work about it, actually. It's really good, this. Because of us, we travel, so we have to bring these dishes to the world. So we can't start from here. I have to come to Africa. African, they have to come. We are in Africa, actually. So we have to come, for example, to different country, to Morocco. From Morocco, we can go to different country in Africa. So that's why we have to change our culture and the dishes to make it more known all around the world.
Thank you so much.
And you're welcome, sir. And thank you for your timing. And I hope, inshallah, this African food will be all around the world one day. Why not? We say, oh, we are the first in the world. Why not?
Yes, okay.